Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And I am bringing the 80s back. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Just chilling, man.
Okay, so I got to start with this. You're going to love this. I texted you like 2 weeks ago and told you that I got YouTube TV, right? Because I'm having issues with the dish.
Yep.
And I had to watch the Super Bowl on YouTube TV, which sucked, right? So they gave me five days, and I was like, this rocks. And, of course, me, who is getting used to getting stuff for free, emails YouTube and says, yo, what do we got to do to get an extended free trial? And they're like, nah. I don't think so. So, I did my 5 days, and then I switched an account and signed back up, and now it's 2 weeks.
Nice.
Right? And I'm going to tell you why I went through this, because I found the coolest thing, which you will totally dig. I've been watching Cobra Kai.
Really?
On YouTube TV.
Interesting.
And it's awesome. It's like an 80s revival, dude.
That's fantastic.
Ralph Macchio and the whole thing. If Miyagi wasn't dead, he'd still be on it. It's freaking fantastic. And if you can imagine Daniel as a car salesman... apparently,
I didn't watch this. This sounds great.
Apparently, Daniel has gotten really big since he won the title back in '89.
Uh huh.
And he has like 5 car dealerships.
Nice.
And in this story, because it's called Cobra Kai, he's the bad guy. It's told from the other guy's point of view.
Nice.
And it is like the coolest thing ever. Like, I'm old. We've established this. This is the ultimate old man show. And I applaud YouTube. Because let's face it, we need more stuff for us. Because we're old.
Yeah. And we're at that age where, like, nostalgia is sold to us, you know?
Yes.
Like, that's where we're at now. And it means we're getting old. That's not the worst thing in the world, because I like nostalgia.
So, yeah, you got to check that out. That's, like, the coolest thing. Since I signed up again on a different account because they wouldn't give me more days, I now have 2 weeks and I have a season to watch. And... on a complete and total other note, they're eventually going to get my money because YouTube is really good. YouTube TV is really good as far as a cord-cutting service.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. So, and I know you're way into that too, so.
Yeah. No, I'm all about cutting the cord. I haven't looked back. It's a good thing.
Well, the only thing is that I live with other people in my house.
That's fair.
And so we can't find the service that has all the channels they like.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem. Because I'm ready to cut the cord, and they're like, we don't know.
That's fair.
And so that's what we're doing right now. But what's going on with you, sir?
Not much, man. Just chilling home with the little girl who has pink eye today. So that's been fun. But other than that, not a ton. Just work as usual.
It's always something.
Yeah, she's constantly sick, and thus we're constantly sick. It's just a never-ending cycle at this point. It is the reality of kids. It's absurd. By the way, before we do the next show, I'm sure she'll be two, which is just nuts, just ridiculously dumb.
Two.
Yep.
She can't be two.
You're telling me. It's ridiculous.
I remember when she was like 2 weeks.
I know. You and me, too. We asked her a little while ago how old she is going to be. And she said 2 months. And we were like, aw, we wish. But no, that's not true. Because she can say stuff like that because she just talks out because she's a real little person. And it's a really weird thing to watch your kid turn into like a real little person and not just like this little blob of being that relies on you for everything. Like now she's got like opinions and is independent and wants to do stuff herself, and it's torture sometimes. As much as it's great and fun, it's also like, man, and this is just that too. I can't imagine when she becomes a teenager. It's just, that's horrifying.
Now she'll be like, step off, Dad.
Right. Downhill from here.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat because Valentine's Day is coming up, right? And I have two nieces.
Yeah.
Right? So I tell my brother, after I have done a thing that I probably shouldn't have done, I tell my brother, this thing's coming to your house. And he's like, cool, that's very nice of you. Why did you do that? And I said, they're getting older. We don't have that many years left of this. Like, we're approaching the time period in their lives where they're going to hate us both.
Yeah.
So I spoil my nieces for Valentine's Day. You're going to spoil your kid for Valentine's Day.
For sure.
Because that's what you do. And yeah, we're old.
Yes. That's going to be a theme. For the rest of our lives, honestly, but for a while, we're just old, man. It's not stopping. You
know, we could change this show to "We're Old."
Yeah,
like that might be a more successful podcast.
It would be a truer name.
Yeah, yeah. I that's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Like we did a rebrand before. Like we can just do it again. Yep,
just we're old. That's it. And we talk about games, but more importantly, we're just old.
Yeah. which by the way, on the game side of things, I have played some games.
Very nice.
I have played The Outer Worlds, and I saw on YouTube last night that you at least fired up to play Red Dead. I don't know if you actually played it or not, but I saw it.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. I've done a hair of gaming, so we should probably talk about that. I've actually got some really fun stuff to talk about that's not Red Dead, because Red Dead's honestly a game that we're a year and a half behind on now, but it's still fantastic, and so
yes,
we'll get through it eventually. That's my goal right now, is just try to get through it so we can play something else, because my goodness, we're behind. So, also, let me just mention really quick other stuff we have on the show today, and we'll see how much we get to. News from Microsoft of who they think their real competitors are. I think this is going to be a fun conversation, so I'm looking forward to that that one a lot. And news from Nintendo on who they don't think their competitors on, which is also fantastic. And so we get both sides of that conversation, as well as some rumors of some Nintendo games just announced just right before we started the show. There's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, and so it's supposed to be Animal Crossing focused, but we'll see if we get any other news out of that. We've got big news out of Rockstar. We'll talk about Blizzard Blue, a game launch in a pretty spectacular way. We'll talk about that if
they
we have
do
time.
That on a regular basis.
My
now.
Goodness, you remember when like Blizzard was the company that was like, man, Blizzard does everything right. Blizzard just kills, and now they've just fallen apart, man. Like now, like anytime I see Blizzard in the news, I just cringe. I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad, and it almost always is. It just how the mighty have fallen.
You know why? You know why? Because they're old. My God, they're old.
Isn't
it's
that
all
the truth?
Falling apart. Yeah. It's over.
And they teamed up with Activision. I feel like that's when it started going downhill as well. But no, you're right. They're old. We're old. We can have some sympathy there for sure. So, yeah. All that said, let me mention the Patreon guys really quick, and we'll talk about games we've been playing. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Spider, Spencer, Hector, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Thank you guys for your support. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that by going to the website, gaminguncensored.com, and there's the Become a Patron link right up there near the top of the page. Click on that and support us, and we would appreciate it greatly.
And I have a couple of things for two specific Patreon guys. First, Duff, you're the man as always. He tried to send us a gift through the Oculus and figured out that didn't work.
Yeah.
So he just told us to go buy something, which yes. We will.
Yes, absolutely.
That's going to be fantastic. And Sam, the ultimate Facebook guy.
Yes.
Like, Sam's on Facebook every 5 minutes. I know exactly what he's doing. It's fantastic. and I just want to say, Sam, since you're sending cash, why don't you send us some stuff too? Like, we can really use one of those 2080 Ti's.
Right.
Like, that'd be fantastic, bro. And, just saying.
It has been really fun to live vicariously through watching him build his rig. Like, just following it on Facebook. And even, like, he's posting pictures. And, like it just, it's super fun. Doing the vertical mount of his graphics card in his case was cool. You like just fun, you know, like I'm just watching it going, this is fantastic. This is what I love. So
and now he's got other dudes doing it.
Yeah.
Other dudes are like, well, crap, if he's gonna do it, I'm gonna do it too.
Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic.
It is pretty fantastic. I dig that dude a lot. I'm glad he's over at Facebook. It's fun to watch. So,
yeah.
That being said, let's talk about some games we've been playing. So we mentioned Red Dead. I don't know if there's anything more you want to add about Red Dead. Again, we're way behind on this game, so I don't want to belabor it. But man, it's just really, really good.
It's so good.
It's so
good. Like it's great.
Yeah. And with the context of the news we have today about Rockstar, it's even more pertinent to talk about how great it is.
I can't remember when I played something that was so totally complete.
Yes.
The way that Red Dead is. Because we're in a new area because we finally made it to like chapter 4.
Yeah.
And like I'm looking at this going, I don't know what they possibly could have done different.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea how they could have made this better. No clue whatsoever.
I 100% agree. It's just, it's so tight. It's so well put together. Man, they just killed it. And I'm ready for whatever we're getting with Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, I want details of what's next from them. Because, you know, it's still going to be a couple more years before we see whatever that is. But I want some of that teasing happening already. Because, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So, Yeah, that's Red Dead. I've got one more game to talk about just a little bit. I don't have a ton of time in it, but a fun experience with it. Before that, I would love to hear what you've been playing more about the Outer Worlds. You sent me a text I never responded to you about how you have cows on your ship now, which okay. is fantastic.
So, like, I had to look this up because I got done with Monarch. And, you know, you walk into the cargo bay. And normally I'm walking fast because I have that speed walk perk.
Nice.
Where you don't have to sprint. He just walks really fast because, you know, I'm crippled and extra buttons and all that. So I'm normally walking pretty fast. And I'm walking in and I hear this moo. And Ada says something about a fertilizer shipment, which I'm sure that you've heard, which I've heard a couple of times too. And I look over, and there's four cows in my cargo hold. And they're just standing there, and there's hay on the floor, and like, it is the weirdest thing ever. So I look it up. And lo and behold, because I thought I knew what it was from, and lo and behold, I was right. It is a Firefly reference, and it's fantastic.
That's great.
It's absolutely, like, I have cows in my cargo hold, and I went on Reddit to look. And some dude was like, yeah, I thought I mistakenly picked up a side quest where I'm hauling cow stuff, and they just appeared. But no, it's a Firefly Easter egg, and I love it. It's nice. Fantastic. It's a great game. I'm having a blast with it. As usual, I'm slow, but that's normal. It's a good time. I'm two levels away from maxed, which depresses me, because I want to keep leveling up.
Yeah.
But I'm almost to the end. I mean, Byzantium is next. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a blast. That's all I got to say. If you're not playing it, you need to play it. Because it's really good.
Yeah, you're miles ahead of me, and I haven't touched it in quite a while, and wanting to, finding that time. But now hearing that just makes me want to play it again more. It's really pretty fantastic, so we'll see about finding time to get back into it, but I would love to get back into it. Yes. Speaking of getting back into games, I'm going to talk about Skyrim for a little bit.
Whoa! Hello!
I mentioned this on the last show that I had picked up the Skyrim VR that was on sale for the Lunar New Year sale on Steam. And so I've spent a little bit of time in it. And so just to talk about that a bit, not
on
really.
On the quest?
Yes. That's the first thing I want to mention to it is I've done this all with using the Oculus Link. I haven't broken out the Vive at all. And so this is all on the quest, and it works so well and so seamlessly. The only thing that the only issue I have is that the USB cord that I bought is short. It was shorter than I thought it was when it got here. I don't know if I just ordered the wrong one. So I need to get a longer one at some point. So because the Oculus Link requires you to be tethered, my tether is very short. And so moving around hasn't been much of an option, but still have been able to get around just fine in the game. And I'll talk about those details a little bit here in a second. But what I wanted to mention, I don't know if you've heard of this. I hadn't heard of it until I was just looking, because obviously, I get Skyrim, and the first thought I had was, I need to mod this, obviously, right, before I play it. Because, like, at this point, vanilla Skyrim is, like, terrible, right? Like, it's just the worst, because I know all these mods exist. And so I'm like, okay, so I wonder what's compatible with the VR version. So I started doing a little bit of research. And it turns out, at least as far as I can tell, that most things that are compatible with the special edition work with VR as well. And so I'm like, okay, that's cool, because I've gone through the process of modding up special edition once, got it looking really pretty and enjoyed that, you know, whatever. So I'm like, this will be fairly straightforward. But then I'm like, okay, but now I got to like really dive into the modding process, which is just a lot, you know, especially with Skyrim at this point with all the things that you have.
Yes. And I'm glad that you brought this up, because this is what kept me from getting back into Skyrim.
So have I got news for you then?
Yeah, okay.
So that exactly was my thing. And so what I decided to do was just to see, like, if there's some way that you can, like, bulk install mods, you know? Like, what I really just want to do is jump into Skyrim VR in a decently modded version to get to play around with it a bit. Like, that's my whole goal here. I'm not going to play through a whole bunch of Skyrim in VR. Like, this is really just me playing around with it, not intending to play through the game this way. And so I started doing some research, and just so happens that there's this service that's called Wabajack, I think. Wabajack, something like that. That does exactly that. That they compile mod lists, and it's this software that will go and fetch all the mods for you, install them. You got to do a little bit of work. It's still modding, and so it's not completely autonomous. But it does most of the work for you. That it goes, it fetches all the mods, it gives you your like mod folders that you then just copy over to your game directory, and a kind of standalone mod manager that you run just to make sure everything's working. And there you go. Like, you have a fully modded version of Skyrim with not having to go fetch all of these mods independently. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to try that, just see how it works. And it worked pretty flawlessly. I was like, shockingly so. I'm really, really surprised by this. I had to, the one caveat here is I had to sign up for the Nexus Premium account. And so the way that it fetches the mods uses some feature that's only available if you have a Nexus Premium account. So I had to do that. But after spending $4 for that or whatever, it just goes and fetches all the mods and puts them all in a directory, and you just copy them over and launch the game, and you're good to go. And there was still a lot of like configuring that you had to do, because it doesn't configure everything for you. And so like the thing, the readme for the mod list that I used had, you know, here's what you need to go in and set in each one of these mods in Skyrim. And so that still took some time. So it still wasn't a complete no time commitment. Again, it's modding, is what you expect from modding. But after a couple hours, I'm in a totally modded version of Skyrim that looks fantastic, that has all the user interface mods that are really necessary for VR, because it's not great out of the box VR, but with the mods, it really steps it up. Things like just being able to access like weapons on your body. There's a mod that allows you to do that, which is really nice. So you don't have to go through menus and that kind of stuff, which is cumbersome in VR, obviously. And then a lot of graphic enhancements and all the basic stuff, like all the basic mods, Sky UI, and that kind of stuff that you kind of expect. And it worked really, really well. They have mod lists for just the classic Skyrim for Skyrim Special Edition. And so I'm sure there's a Reddit page about it. I didn't dig in deep enough to see who all's creating their own custom list here, but there's on their website 3 or 4 custom mod list for Skyrim, a couple for Fallout, that kind of stuff. Just really cool service that never knew existed until I was looking for it here, and it's kind of awesome.
Okay, so you just blew my little brain.
Right?
because the only mod that I have that I absolutely have to keep from my old mod is Dovahkiin Hideout 0.92, because it has all the items in it.
Yep.
Which I've never moved out. Like, I've never taken the time to move those items out. So I have that config file. That one, I need that to stay where it is, and I need everything else to work. And so a couple of questions that I have on this.
Yep.
First, part of what has kept me from doing this is that I found out that the Nexus Mod Manager is no more. It's now this Cyclone
Vortex
thing. Vortex.
Yep.
So is that what you're using for this?
I'm actually not. I'm trying to remember what mod manager it is. It's a different mod manager, but it actually, like, I don't know if it is. I may be speaking out of term here. I'm going to try to pull it up really quick just so I can tell you. But it's, like, it downloads the mod manager as part of the, like, big collection of stuff that it downloads for you. And so that's part of the package. And that's the getting to a point that I think you may be going to that appears to be an issue with this idea, that it does not seem like it's super easy or super practical to add mods to this
that aren't on the list
that you're pretty well stuck with. What, and I'm sure you can, I'm sure there's a way you can do it. I haven't had any desire to try to figure that side of it out yet, but it is a pretty, it's mod organizer is the mod organizer that he uses, straightforward enough. But it's not Nexus Mod Manager or Vortex now, whatever it is. That said, yeah, it doesn't appear like it's something that you can just do if you just want to go in and put an extra mod in there. Again, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can figure it out, but it's going to take a little bit of work, and there's a chance at that point that it breaks the game because it feels like it's a pretty deliberately put together, like load order and all that kind of stuff, that right. Once you start messing with stuff, like there's a good chance that you're just going to break the whole thing.
And that's why I haven't wanted to do Cyclone or Vortex.
Yeah.
Because apparently, strangely, there is no load ordering with Vortex, which is bizarre.
That is bizarre.
But it apparently does not exist. If they have changed that, somebody tell me I'm wrong. But that... That's the whole reason I haven't remodded my Skyrim, because the last time I tried, I could not get SkyUI to work, which you gotta have SkyUI.
Yeah.
And I need Dokken Hideout to work at least long enough for me to get my crap out of it, because I got a lot of crap in there.
Yeah.
So if somebody is using this thing with that version of Dokken Hideout, let me know. Send me an email, Facebook me, something. Because I would spend 2 hours today getting this set up to get back into Skyrim.
Yeah.
Because I've been Skyrim jonesing for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And now it's at a point where I'm just a snob. And I look at all the mods and I'm like, I don't want to do that. That'll take too long.
Yep.
But this, I like this idea. So, if somebody knows how to add one particular mod to their list, I'm all in.
Yep.
And then you're going to get 6 months of Jamie and Tommy because Skyrim is awesome!
Yeah, it's absurd. I'll mention just really quick about actually playing around with it in VR a little bit. The modded version, I did play it just vanilla for 20 minutes or something like that, just because I really wanted to see what it was like out of the box. And it wasn't terrible. It's kind of nice at the beginning. They have a little kind of intro thing that lets you choose how you want to move around. And so you can do kind of the standard teleport controls like you do in most VR games, or you can assign it, which is a nice thing about the quests. You can assign it to be analog stick based, and so you can do it where you use the analog sticks. Of course, that's much less comfortable, that everything's comfort in VR, i.e. you're a lot likely to get motion sickness using that. And that's the way I've played it so far, because my tether's so short that it just makes more sense to be able to navigate with analog sticks. And I can tell, like, I haven't played it long enough at this point to feel really sick in it. But if I spent an hour or two in it, I would get pretty nauseous, I think, after a while. They do have a little, like, thing where it, like, kind of letterboxes almost to kind of help with the motion sickness and stuff. So they try. But all that said, it is set up at least where it lets you kind of customize it at the beginning so you get a feel for it. And then once I got it all modded and actually loaded into the game itself, I played through just a little intro part with it and vanilla with the dragon and all that kind of stuff. stuff. But after that, I went into a modded version, went to Whiterun, and just walked around Whiterun some. And a lot of people complain, and understandably here, it's stupid as a complaint, but I get it, that it doesn't look very good in VR because it's a really old game. But once you get it modded, like, it looks like just about any other VR game that's out there. The pack that I have did a lot of NPC replacement, and so there's a pretty big disparity between the NPCs that weren't replaced and the ones that were on kind of visually how they look, and that's a big deal in the VR world because you're much more intimately connecting with these NPCs in the world because you're like looking at them not as 2D, you know, characters on a screen, but you can like kind of walk around them and that kind of stuff, which just gives you a very, very different perspective of the game. But just being able to be like in Whiterun in 3D, that's all I did was just walk around Whiterun. I haven't done any combat or anything like that yet. I just walked around Whiterun. But being able to do that in VR in a game that I know so well was just a blast. It was just so freaking cool. It looks cool because, again, it's modded to look good. It's very pretty. And it's just so familiar, yet at the same time, like, such a new thing. Like, seeing scale and size, I'm like, oh, that character's taller than I thought they were. That character's shorter than I thought. You know, like, it just is a very different experience in VR in a very cool way. And so I am jonesing to get back into it and just play with it a little bit more. Again, I'm not going to spend the time to go play through that game again. But what I really do want to do, I haven't figured out how to do this yet, but I want to transfer my save over so I could just play around with my character in VR that's like, you know, opened up the whole map and just kind of jump around and go to some different places and just relive some of the elements of Skyrim in VR and just have those kind of little moments that were super cool the first time around and do that again in the immersion of VR in that world. I think it's going to be a blast.
So just the idea of this, you could put me in a room with a headset on my head, and if there was a way for me to walk around Skyrim, like, you'd have to put a feeding tube in me.
Yeah.
Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, see ya.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna go find me a dragon, because I want to see that land.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I, like, that's it. It's over. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I deal with a lot of virtual world people. And because of Second Life and all the stuff that I do, I deal with a lot of people that work and exist in realities that aren't reality, you know,
yeah,
like,
it, for sure.
I deal with these people, and I sent you a link over the weekend about an educators conference for professionals that are in VR.
Yeah.
And I'm on a board with some people that this is what they do. And two of them bought headsets to play around with it, and they don't like it because of what you're talking about, because of the time limitations and the technology limitations that we've talked about a lot on this show. And so they sent the link for this conference and said, this is when it is, and we're going to go. And the reason I sent you the link was I'm curious how somebody in your position, because you are an education professional and have been for like 12 years now,
yeah,
which is mind-bending.
It's a long time.
I am curious how somebody like you would see this, because my boss, who I've worked with forever, is 89, and he is on the computer from 4 a.m. in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And what his goal in life at this point is to explain to people that whether it's a Second Life environment or with the goggles, it's all VR. Like, it's all VR.
Yeah.
And it all has a long way to go. And so that's why I sent you that link. I'm hoping that you have time to pop in and see a little bit of what's going on there, because there are people that are way more immersed in the VR thing than you and I are.
Absolutely.
And I'm just curious if they feel some of the same restrictions that you and I have run into.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that one of my people said over the weekend is, you can't spend more than an hour in there. How are you supposed to do anything? And so I think, like, to get back to something like Skyrim, it's really cool. But how long can you go before it gets uncomfortable?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think it really needs to be a supplemental thing in how it's approaching an education. I can think of a million ways I would love to play in VR of specifically what I teach, of how I could teach people things that they otherwise wouldn't easily have access to, because getting into a recording studio and that kind of stuff isn't super accessible. But if you could get your hands on a VR headset and I could put you in a virtual studio and we could talk about miking and that kind of stuff with, you know, virtual objects and that kind of stuff. And yeah, my mind kind of goes crazy with that and just think of how freaking cool that could be. But again, it has to be supplemental. I'm not going to be able to do an entire course in that world. It would be a portion of that. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, what I want to, and maybe there's a way you can do this. I haven't done research yet to see, but what I really like to be able to do with Skyrim VR is just to easily be able to jump back and forth between a game in VR and not in VR. And so there's some stuff that I just want to go and do in Skyrim that are going to be like fairly boring, meticulous kind of things. Inventory management isn't going to be a whole lot of fun in VR, and that's something you kind of have to do in Skyrim, you know, like, but I do want to have those experiences, you know, of big cinematic moments in VR. And so the ability to jump in and out really easily would, I think, make an experience like that even more appealing, because it gives you that immersion when you want it without having to deal with it when it's a hassle, whenever you're dealing with, you know, 5 hours in the game of being, okay, now this is just exhausting or whatever it is. Like, I think that's the key to making it work. Again, I don't know if that's possible. I haven't done research. It's not immediately obvious that you can just do that. It's very much set up as a standalone VR game, not as a add-on or as a different way to experience Skyrim in general. So,
but what I think is interesting about this is that we've been talking about this for like a half hour now, and you, when you started talking about it, you talked about walking around Whiterun, and I noticed that you said walking around. My question was going to be, is it the teleport thing where you click and then you end up and then apparently it's not?
I did both. So I did, because I wanted to experience both of them. And so I did teleport thing to navigate, and I did use the analog sticks like you would typically use analog sticks to move around. So left is forward, back, and strafe, and right analog stick is turn. And neither one is, I wouldn't say one is more immersive than the other. Obviously, like, the thing is you get to a point, and then depending on how much mobility you have based on how long your tether is, you can physically walk around in the space within a certain, you know, radius. And
oh, that's really?
Where
okay.
It feels
yeah.
immersive. And so you do have the ability to like any other VR kind of experience to do that. And so it works very similar to other VR games in that way. I would probably, if I'm going to jump back into it, I'd probably use the teleport mode, because that's more comfortable, which does matter quite a bit. And honestly, just having used VR quite a bit at this point is what I'm more accustomed to in VR. It just feels more natural for VR, because that's basically how every other game works. And so that's the way I'll probably continue to do it. But who knows? I like having the option to do it with the analog stick thing. It's kind of cool. It's just, yeah, I'm going to get sick a lot quicker in that mode than I would in the teleport mode.
Well, and knowing that you can physically walk in your square.
Yes.
That's really cool to me also.
So it's still room scale. It still has that ability, yeah, which is a big deal. And that's where it really feels immersive, you know. And so getting to walk around the inn or walk around in some spaces, that's what was really fun. Like I just spent, I don't know how long I spent, you know, 10 or 15 minutes just walking around and talking to people in the inn and just like exploring and looking at stuff and like ducking down, you know, like just stuff you never looked at before. There's a billion cool things you could do in that world. And especially with mods, it seems like it'd be really fun. So all that said, we do need to get to the news because we're going to run out of time really quickly. But I would highly recommend whenever it comes back on sale, I would not recommend paying $60 for Skyrim VR. But if you can get it sub $20, I think it was $17.99 or something like that on sale. And I'm not regretting that. I think it was worth that. Just, again, if you played Skyrim, if you've gone back to it like we have and modded it and have played through it in multiple different ways, this is yet another way that you'll probably get a good little bit of time out of it. And the novelty is enough, especially if you know Skyrim well, that I think it'll be a lot of fun. So,
and Bethesda's going, yeah, we're still good.
Good God.
We're still good.
Skyrim never ends. So
we own you
forever. All that said, quickly, we'll get through some news. We'll start with Microsoft because I think this is just fascinating. So we'll have a little bit of a conversation about this. But to do a quick summary here, of course, go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. If you want to dig into any of these topics, especially ones we're not going to get to a little bit deeper, you can do that. But Phil Spencer, in an interview, said essentially, or I'll give you the quote here. Quote, when you talk about Nintendo and Sony, we have a ton of respect for them, but we see Amazon and Google as the main competitors going forward. That's not to disrespect Nintendo and Sony, but the traditional gaming companies are somewhat out of position. I guess they could try to recreate Azure, but we've invested tens of billions of dollars in the cloud over the years. And so that being the kind of key component there at the end. Microsoft, Phil Spencer specifically here saying, we see Google and Amazon as the main competitors going forward because going forward, gaming is going to be in the cloud and Nintendo and Sony don't have the infrastructure to do that. We do. Amazon does, Google does. And it's a really interesting framing of where the game industry is going, at least from the perspective of Microsoft, of where the game industry is going. Of course, we already see Google in this space. Google and Stadia is a thing that currently exists. You can play games on it right now. And we know Amazon's been talking for a long time, and Amazon Web Services and everything else. They've got infrastructure, of course. So that's Microsoft's perspective. I'm really curious of what you think about that idea of Microsoft's main competitors going forward are Amazon and Google.
Okay. Theoretically, he's correct. But the mistake that Microsoft is making, I think, is I don't know that Google or Amazon really care that much about gaming as a part of their business. I started the show by talking to you about YouTube TV. And I texted you about YouTube TV and how it's legit and all that. One of the things that makes it great is that I have a 50 meg connection that is somewhat unpredictable, okay? I just re-upped for 2 more free weeks. Don't hate me, Google, because I have more than one Gmail account.
That's y'all's fault.
but in the 5 days that I watched it before, it was absolutely and completely flawless. And I'm not somebody that's on fiber like you are. I'm not on cable like most people are. My internet is coming off of cell phone towers. And I'm telling you that it was flawless with 2 streams going on in my house. Like, I had my dad watching it on his TV, and I was watching it on my TV going, okay, at some point it's got to screw up. We had 2 screens going on for hours, and I'm watching the bandwidth, and we're talking about 1080p video, And at most, it took 10 megs. Okay, so I say all of that to say that the Google platform is legit. And everything in the world runs on AWS. So we know that's legit.
Yeah.
But I don't know, as part of their business, how much they care about gaming. Like Microsoft, this is a problem that I've had with Microsoft. Like, when we saw the first Xbox, you and I said, we've got to have it. And then the 360 came out, and it was legit. From that point, you and I have been looking around going, why do we need this? Because they don't do the things that cater to us. And the games that they do have, hey, they made it available on their biggest platform that there is. And it's called the PC. So I like his logic. But I really feel like with an attitude like that, Sony's going to walk up behind them and just steal gaming from all of them.
Yeah.
Like, fine, you guys do whatever you want to over there. We're going to do what we do over here. And you'll be out of business as far as gaming goes pretty quick.
But kind of not. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think. It's fundamentally two different kind of conversations that I think are convoluted into each other. Here, Phil Spencer is specifically talking about how games are delivered, but not about content. I think that's an interesting. I don't want to say admission, because I do think he's specifically talking in game delivery here, that he says is meaning that the main competition going for as far as game delivery is going to be Amazon and Google, because content wise, obviously Nintendo and Sony aren't going anywhere, and they're going to continue to put out great games. And that's honestly the biggest knock on Microsoft, is that they, as a first party entity, don't deliver the same level of software as, say, Nintendo and Sony do. But we talked about, I don't know, it's been several months ago now, how Sony and Microsoft are pairing up, that Sony is going to be using Azure for their cloud stuff, that Microsoft is potentially going to be the vehicle for Sony games in the cloud at some point, and that Microsoft will benefit at that point from Sony's content, in much the same way that, you know, Sony has benefited from Microsoft content, in that the Blu-ray is a Sony product, right? And so the drive that's built into to Microsoft's gaming console benefits Sony as a bigger whole, not Sony gaming necessarily. And in much the same way, the medium, the format in the future that Sony games are coming out on could very well be a Microsoft platform. And so the idea of content, I think that Nintendo and Sony are competition for Microsoft, but I don't know that Microsoft cares that much about that into the future. Like, Microsoft is looking at gaming in a different way, that they want to have the best platform, the place that you go to play games, whatever that is, that's the Xbox brand. I don't know if they'll stick to the Xbox brand forever. They may end up calling it something different down the road. But I could easily see, you know, Sony content on whatever that platform is 5 or 10 years from now. I think they're right in that way. I think it's an interesting insight into what Microsoft thinks their role is going to be in the future of gaming.
To me, I think gaming and the three companies plus Google now is kind of like watching the WWE. You know, like, it's this massive soap opera with all this stuff going on. And when we're not looking, when the lights are down, all these guys are having lunch together going, okay, how can we, you've got this, and yep, we've got that, and you, how can we work together on this? So, I don't know. I think at this point, I don't know that it's about winning. It's about, I think it's more about how do all of these companies get an appropriate piece of the $1 billion pie,
yes,
that gaming is, so that they can be happy.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and this is a good example with Sam. Sam's a Microsoft guy. Like, Sam loves Microsoft. And he gave me a hard time because I was talking trash on his PC on the earlier show about how he was going to use it and whatnot. But hey, you're listening, aren't you, Sam? I think, to me, this is all about, you know, we can keep the fanboys doing what they do, and that's good for us. But at the end of the day, it's all theater, and how much money can we all make?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? And I think we've seen that recently, especially with Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft as being the kind of traditional players at this point,
right,
of them kind of. The idea of the enemy you know is better than the enemy you don't, you know, that like that they kind of all get each other. So we've seen a little more cooperation happening there recently. And I think we'll probably see that continue. I think that they have a vested interest in kind of how each other conducts things, as well as kind of how what that means moving forward. At the same time, Nintendo is saying that they're not concerned about Sony and Microsoft specifically in the realm of their new console launches this year, saying, hey, we're in the middle of the Switch lifecycle and we think it's going great. And so we don't think that we're going to be really affected by Sony and Microsoft releasing their new hardware. And I think Nintendo's probably right. You know, it's this,
yeah,
fascinating thing where, like, Microsoft's like Nintendo and Sony aren't the competition. Nintendo's like Microsoft and Sony aren't the competition. Sony's the one that's kind of like, we're kind of trying to do the things that both Nintendo and Microsoft are trying to do, you know, like Sony's, yeah, the one that's most like, yeah, they're our competition, you know, like, and they're the ones that we're trying to figure out.
To me, I think that's why they could come up behind them and steal it all.
Sure.
Because that's what Sony has done for our entire lives.
Yep.
Like, the stuff that is the PlayStation now, none of it was their idea.
Right.
They took it. They took all of it. They took the controllers. They took the medium. They took the
For crying out loud, the thing was supposed to be a Nintendo console at first.
Yeah. And so, like, I think everybody should be afraid of Sony. I really do, because what they do is they take what you do and they do it better than you.
And honestly, what they do right now is they put really good games behind it. Sony still just kills it on software. And that's really important. And that's never going, like, that's the one truism out of all of this. It doesn't matter what the format of game delivery is. There's going to be some format of game delivery, be it cloud, console, streaming, whatever it is. There's going to be something that we access games through. But that content is what's going to be the thing that drives consumers. And so whoever has the content on their platform that consumers want are going to be the platforms that ultimately end up being successful. That's always going to be the key, and that's always the variable that we can't figure out. Not to say that Microsoft's dumb for putting time and energy into platform. A platform's terribly important. But there's going to be a platform. Like, if, like, all these companies stop development of cloud gaming, like, we're not going to suddenly go, oh, well, I guess we can't game anymore because the future's never happening. Like, we're just going to keep gaming on what we have as a platform now. You know, like, gaming's not going anywhere. And so it's the content creation that ultimately is the thing that's going to drive us. And Sony does that well at this point. We'll see if that continues to be the case. That's, to me, the biggest issue with Stadia right now is that, to me, the platform is great and it works pretty well. There's just not content there that I'm really interested in. There's nothing that's driving me to their service to play on it, because it's like, okay, the Metro is one of the games for this month on the Stadia Pro. I'm like, that's cool. And in a world where I had a lot more time, that would get me, but I don't, you know? And so, like, you got to give me content that's going to get me to your service, and that's not it at this point. So, and I do have an exclusive this month. Guilt, I think, is the name of the game that's on the Stadia Pro. That is an exclusive game to Stadia, but it's not something that's interesting enough to me to push me towards that service to spend my time on their service. Maybe at some point they have that content, but that's the biggest thing right now is they just don't have the content. And until you have content, doesn't matter what your platform is.
I think the biggest change in gaming is the biggest thing that people need to be looking for in gaming is when you find a way to deliver games in a format that allows people that don't have time to play games, that changes everything. Like, I was talking about Cobra Kai at the beginning of the show. You want to know one of the best things about Cobra Kai that I love? Episodes are a half hour.
Yep.
That's it. Half hour, you're done. Okay? And you probably still spend an hour because you watch one and you're like, man, that's really good. I'm going to watch another one. But after a half hour, you feel like you've gotten something done.
Yeah.
Like I was watching ESPN the other morning because we've had weather issues. And I watched like an hour of First Take. And I love Stephen A. Smith. And that Max guy, he's all right. But I watched like an hour of that. And they're like, we have another hour left. And I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have time to DVR that. Like, I'm going to watch Pardon the Interruption every day. I've been watching High Noon every day.
Nice.
I'm watching Cobra Kai. And the key to all of those things is that they're a half hour. Half hour and you're done and you move on to the next thing. That's the key. So I think when it comes to delivery, you got to figure out a way to give us games in a way that gets us more time. Because I never thought that a half hour show would be so desirable to me, but they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think that's a big key, especially for people like us. And there's always going to be people, and myself included in this. I'm not saying I'm not one of these people. There's always going to be people that want those big, AAA deep titles, and we are going to continue to want those. But at the same time, yeah, I also want stuff that I can hop in and hop out of pretty seamlessly and have those half hour, you know, game experiences and then be able to do other stuff and then come back to it another time. That's the difference than where we were 20 years ago in gaming or whatever.
The key to life is time.
Yes.
And I think if somebody figures that out, they're going to make so much money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Really quickly, just to squeeze in, mentioning key to life being time here, squeeze in a few more things, little news stories. Again, there's a ton at the show notes, gamingcensored.com, which you can see there. But a couple I had mentioned that I really want to make sure we hit on. Rockstar announced that Dan Houser, one of the two Houser brothers that are Rockstar in so many ways, is officially leaving the company. He's been gone. Essentially, he's been on a long-term break for about a year at this point after Red Dead came out, and has now officially said he's leaving as of March 11th. His brother, Sam, who currently serves as president of Rockstar, is going to remain at Rockstar. And so one of the two Houser brothers will still be there. But this is a company, and especially that's so limited in how many games that they put out, and really at this point, it's two big franchises, Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead, that are driven by the creative energy of those two guys so much that it's going to be hard losing Dan Houser. I don't think it's catastrophic for Rockstar by any means. They have a huge staff at this point. They're a big, big deal. But still, that's significant. That's a lot of creative power that's leaving a big company.
That's like when Gabe leaves Valve. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. And I don't know if he's leaving like I'm out, or if he's just not doing day to day. But if he's leaving, I don't even want to think about how much money that guy is going to make when he gets out.
Yeah.
And how does that affect the rest of it? Because those two guys started that company from zero.
Yeah.
And now it's this thing. And I think at this point, both of them have to be bazillionaires. Yeah. And if they're not, they will be when they sell out.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's going back to time. From a fan standpoint, I look at this story and I'm like, okay, what do they have to do as a company so that guy doesn't have to be there all the time, but they can still call him for stuff and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Because the second those two guys are both gone, it's going to fundamentally change Rockstar.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Blizzard is what Blizzard is at this point because some people left. And we spent the first 10 minutes of the show complaining about Blizzard. But that's why Blizzard is what it is at this point. It's because some people left.
Yeah. Ultimately, companies change over time. Sometimes that's in a downward direction, and it's hard to, again, I don't think this is catastrophic for Rockstar in any way, but it is a hit.
Right.
It's something that you should expect to have a effect on that creative product coming out. Speaking of Blizzard, I will end with this just to circle back around to that. Blizzard released Warcraft 3 Reforged, the remake of Warcraft 3, and it has gone very, very poorly. Just apparently lots of disappointment of fans. And this is, again, this is complete fan service because there aren't many people that are going to come into Warcraft 3 as a new person, a new player to this franchise. That's not something that has that kind of appeal to it. And so it's a game that's being released just to start with as fan service. And apparently they did kind of, the way I'm reading into it, I haven't messed with it enough at all to know what this is like, but I did really enjoy the original. What it feels like to me reading what other people have done is it feels like they changed it in a lot of the ways that we complained about Diablo 3, that it just doesn't feel like what it was. But Diablo 3 wasn't a remake. This is a remake that apparently doesn't feel like the original and doesn't look great either. One of the big complaints is that the cinematics are not very pretty, and Blizzard's kind of cop out for that as they wanted to stay true to the original, which came out 20 years ago or whatever it is, pretty close at this point. Blizzard, it's one of those kind of how the mighty have fallen. Maybe Diablo 4 is fantastic and we can hope, but the Blizzard, that was once a company that I thought could do no wrong, is now a company that, like I said at the beginning of the show, I just cringe every time I see it in the news. I worry about, what they're going to put out.
And look, they're going to come back around eventually because we spent the first 5 years of this show talking about how evil EA was. And now it's like, yeah, they're all right.
Right,
because they were Satan incarnate when we started this show.
Yes,
and
the
now,
evil empire.
Yeah,
and now they just put out a really good Star Wars game. So
yeah,
way to go, EA.
I mean, so I don't think Blizzard's dead.
No.
It may take them 10 years to come back around, but EA is the poster child for us on this show. That, you know, this stuff happens, because we did. We talked so much trash on EA back in the day. And now it's like, wow, their stuff's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fair. And where we are, everything is cyclical. So go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. Really quickly on releases, not a lot happening right now. There is a Dead Cells DLC, which is maybe one of the big things. There is also Frostpunk DLC. If we're talking about Dead Cells and Frostpunk DLC, that's where we are. Just not the time of year where we're getting big games, but give it a couple of months and we'll have some big stuff coming hopefully soon. So go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com.
That's good, because I don't have time to play what I've got.
Right.
So that's the absolute
truth.
There's that. So a couple of things. You may have noticed that the last show did not get put on Facebook. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because Facebook has decided not to allow content to be posted to Facebook automatically. So now that Tommy is putting the show on the website, I used to not worry about it. I would just share the post and off we went. But our stuff is posting on Twitter. It's posting other places, but it is not posting on Facebook. So, if you don't see this show in a few days, poke one of us and be like, yo, where's the show? We need the link. Because the last show never ended up on Facebook. That's my bad. I just didn't realize it was doing that.
That's fair.
Thank you, Facebook, for sucking. But that's kind of what's going on with that. Secondly, yes, we realize there's no Patreon content. However, the Accessibility Controller 3.0 is coming.
Nice.
It is, it's looking really sweet. It's black and red. He didn't do that on purpose.
That's fantastic,
I think he has heard about 10 minutes of this show in total. So I don't think he meant to do that on purpose, but that is what's coming. I am going to be able to play the Final Fantasy VII Remake when it comes out, which I'm really excited about.
That's a beautiful thing.
Duff is apparently also really excited about the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes.
So we moved him into something else. Thank you very much, Duff. Keep giving us money.
Yes.
We are broadening your horizons, and we will continue to do that. Is there anything on your side of the pond, sir, that people need to know before we wrap this thing up?
I don't think so. I just love bringing up Duff. I've never have been into Final Fantasy, and now being super pumped about it. I as well. There's also been the screenshots, trailer, I don't know, some tease of cross-dressing Cloud at this point. Yeah, it's in that
Woo-hoo!
Trailer. That's so disturbingly amazing. It's definitely a part of Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm watching it right now, Cloud walking around in a dress. So
real quick before we go on, I know we gotta go, we're out of time, but this is why you gotta watch Cobra Kai. Because I was watching it before we started the show. I actually had to stop it. But I stopped it with Johnny Lawrence on the phone, which is the Cobra Kai guy, on the phone talking to a potential new recruit. The new recruit says, what genders do you take? And he goes, we take boys and girls. We're totally open. And then the person says something about gender neutral. And Johnny goes, is this a prank call? So, welcome to the 1980s. You have to watch Cobra Kai. It's fantastic.
That makes me happy.
And season 3 is coming. So, I'm very happy about that. You need to go get YouTube Premium or YouTube TV, sir. I think you'll like it. There's a 2-week free trial going on for 2 more days.
I dig that. So I may have to jump in there.
Sign up for that. That's good stuff. As far as we are concerned, you know how to email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. We do have a couple of voicemails needing to go on the show, so we'll do that soon, I promise.
Yes. And I hope we'll get back to doing this show on a regular basis. Because that's I was telling you before the show, my blood pressure is being weird. And it's probably because we haven't been on the air.
Probably.
That's probably why.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's probably having negative health effects for both of us. But for right now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.